Hello, welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. If you are like most, you are here because you want to gain insights on how to best scale a business. To achieve optimum scaling, many metrics are important. Sales, leads, cost of customer acquisition, gross revenues. However, as you know, no statistic is as important as profits, both net and gross. For over a decade, your host, Richard Doherty, has helped his clients increase their profits, often turning them into profit-rich winners. To help listeners like you achieve stellar profits in business, Richard has written an ebook entitled Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It includes profit-making advice from Richard, as well as some of the top guests he's had on the podcast. Just for listening, it is yours free. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. Now, over to the show with Richard Doherty, founder and host.
Hello, I'm Richard Doherty, CEO and founder of ScaleUp Consulting and author of Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. And I believe local know-how is a key ingredient to scaling successfully when you go international, right? And super excited today to have on the show Wayne. Wayne is the founder of Basalt out in South Africa, a local lad out there. So super excited to go into the detail of what it takes to scale up in South Africa. And, you know, Wayne, super excited to welcome you onto the show today.
Thank you, Richard. And yeah, it's such a pleasure to be on the show and have conversation around local markets and chat around these.
Brilliant. And folk, as always, I give everyone a bird's eye view as to the session that we just about to jump into. And, you know, we all know Africa is a growing continent. And right now, I think roughly there's a population of 1.3 billion people out there. Demand for new products and services are plentiful as there are eager customers out there. The challenge lies in aligning your expansion and operation strategies accordingly when you go out there and you scale in various locations, right? Africa is divided up into 54 countries, but there are four main hubs. These include Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, and also South Africa. And as I said at the top of the show, we're going to be talking about and going into some detail on how to scale up in South Africa. So Wayne, to bring you into the show today, I think the first thing that I'd like to talk about is, what impact does both political and cultural customs of South Africa have on your expansion strategy when you're entering into that market?
So, yeah, very exciting to go through those. But I think before we jump into that, if you don't mind, I think 2021 was one of the greatest years to be a founder in Africa in the innovation ecosystem, because just look at the VC and the amount of investment into African continent was a record-breaking year. That's 2021. This year is still climbing. So $5.2 billion was raised into 604 unique companies in 2021, which is just phenomenal. And as you say, South Africa, Nigeria, Kenya being the leaders in that space. So the top five in volume in that year. And I think, you know, looking at South Africa, there are nuances around political and cultural customs. I think our triple BEE, which is our Black economic structures of empowerment and how do we spread opportunity and wealth between all those and be inclusive in a country which is well needed and deserved in that. There's also, I think, economic uncertainties, I think, with any African country. And we know what those are, and you know, those are political challenges. But on the flip side, there's still massive opportunity. We have great interest rates, and the biggest one I think at the moment is we have available skills and talent. And I think globally there's a lack of skills and talent drain in developed countries, and Africa is starting to build out those, and a massive opportunity for South Africa as well.
Yeah. Thanks for that response. I mean, just to dive into the cultural aspect of that, I mean, in South Africa alone, there's, you know, the I guess the old colonial, British colonial, Dutch colonials that were settlers there. And there's, you know, that cultural aspect of that in South Africa, different parts of South Africa, in Cape Town, in Johannesburg, in Durban. And there's also, obviously, you know, the African influence. You got the cultural influences around, you know, the Zulus, the Khoisas, and what have you. And I'm just wondering, you know, how these different types of people, upbringings, affect a business when they're coming into that market. Should you take a look at these cultural differences and really understand it before you start thinking about how you enter into the market? Or is there another direction that you need to consider when it comes to these cultural customers in South Africa?
So for me alone, being a South African and a white South African entrepreneur, I myself have to also look at different cultures and understand what those are. And that is relevant for me as a South African, would be much more relevant for an international company, because one of the things I'm looking at now is how do I lead a truly African company? And that includes many cultures and nuances that of things that, you know, I can't be blindsided to things I don't know, understand, or totally be naive to it. So that's one of the things I've put as a growth path for myself, is to understand different cultures within my own country further and deeper. And even I'm learning. So definitely, I think that is critical for an international business looking at South Africa. And on the other side, we've also opened offices in the UK, in London, in the UK. And myself, I need to also understand the British culture and how that works, you know. We're very outspoken and we're very direct as South Africans, and, you know, that's our culture, but not necessarily the British culture. So I need to myself also be awake to what that is on the other side. So definitely agree, and it has to be.
Okay, so we're going into South Africa, we're looking at sort of the political landscape, the economic landscape. We're making certain that, you know, there's also a sense of the different types of actual physical people in there and what their needs and wants are, right? Let's dive into that, you know, a bit deeper as well. It's a very different world out in SA, right, as it is in the UK. There's a wide gap between sort of the middle class and sort of the low income class. And you can go into the streets of Alexandra and Soweto, and, you know, it's a pretty, I mean, maybe it's a bit different these days, but, you know, there's some tough living standards there, right? Whereas, you know, if you come into the UK, obviously the living standards are slightly higher. You've got, you know, government subsidies that allow people to have good housing, even if they don't have or have low income. These types of situations that South Africa throws out at an entrepreneur, at a company, now how can you get to grips with that? I mean, how can you go into Alexandra, into Soweto, into different parts and different townships, and really understand what it is that an individual wants? You know, what type of mobile app they want, what type of payment processor they want. What are the tricks, or what are the strategies that you need to think about when doing that?
So definitely understanding those and being and experiencing it. I think experience is critical and key, because, you know, theory and understanding and from a book side of things is very different than going into a township.
Yeah.
And even we built a mobile application in the Shabins and in the Spaza shops. So in the informal market, we call it main market, actually. And yes, there's poverty and yes, there's challenges, but that's an $800 million unbanked market just within that space. And it's cash as well. So the amount of money that flows through there in cash, because there's still immature in terms of payment and financial solutions for that market, whereas other regions in Africa are probably a bit more advanced currently. But we also got the likes of Capitec, which is starting to dominate in that space. So, you know, I think what's interesting there also is the psyche of the South African is you create opportunity out of necessity. So, you know, it's lovely sitting in a first world country and you're sitting around a boardroom table. We go, well, what's the opportunity of the idea? And everyone comes up what it could be. And it might not be right. Whereas, you know, we got load shedding and our power outages, and we start looking at solutions around how do we do solar. And even privileged people are looking at the applications going, well, if I got, you know, 20 watts or 100 watts, and, you know, if I'm putting it back onto the grid and like selling back the debt. So what happens is we become more sophisticated because of the challenges we have. That's a massive example of how renewable energy in Africa starts to become, the actual individual starts to understand what those challenges are, and we start building solutions around there that are needed and critical. So definitely a massive high unemployment rate, but that still, as an entrepreneur, myself being an entrepreneur, there's opportunity in that. So how do we educate people to, because of the skills gap internationally with technology, financial services, and then housing and sanitary and all those sort of things are also challenges. But they also, we understand how to innovate and how to keep it simple. And you've seen with, you know, London, obviously, with the increase in power charges and that, and how pressure is put under, we've been experiencing those, and we're already looking at solutions around there currently. So yeah, I think in summary, we have an entrepreneurial mindset to solve from necessity, definitely key to understand what the challenges are on the ground and then where those opportunities are, and respect and be mindful to it as well.
Yeah, I like that. And there is a large population, also a large opportunity of underbanked individuals. You know, I'm going back by memory, like 25-30 years, you know, back in Johannesburg, and we had folks working for us, as you do in Joburg. And I remember one of the girls that, you know, used to come in week in and week out. She used to say to me, I said, you know, we used to obviously pay her money, and you know, she came in and did things at our house. And I said to her, where are you putting this money? And, you know, she said, oh, you know, I put it under my mattress. So I was like, okay, why is that? She's scared of the tokolosh, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, well, you know, she sort of showed me her house. We went in and take a look, and they had their beds on stilts. And I was like, okay, why are the beds on stilts? Yeah, the tuklush is going to come. And, you know, so why am I mentioning that? I mean, I'm also, there's another side of this as well, you know, making certain that, you know, going into that conversation a bit more. And it is a very hierarchical fit when it came to the African way of thinking. You know, the chief or the father of the company or the family would not demand, but lead them in a certain way, right? You need to really understand that in order to break down the barriers and become close to that family unit or that company. And, you know, I'm wondering, as an individual or as a company or your startup is, you know, scale up, coming into that world, there's those cultural intricacies that you sort of really need to understand in order to, you know, provide a relevant solution, right? So there is opportunity, no doubt, but how do you actually make a workable solution, i.e. how do you port something from the first world into South Africa and make it workable so that, you know, the person I'm just mentioning takes it on, and also her family and, you know, everyone inside of that, right?
Totally. And yeah, I think we're coming out of what was quite a tough time in South Africa's history, yeah. But we are getting to an interesting and exciting place. So people are becoming more skilled across the board. There's a lot more opportunities in terms of jobs, skilled jobs as well. But also what those nuances are with individuals or companies that come in, your employees, those that are working have to support a lot more people. So it's very different, you know, as a household, a single household, and, you know, you got your breadwinner and he or she pays for those four or five people. Whereas in South Africa, that breadwinner is going to be paying for three or four or five families. And it's expected from a cultural point of view, because that's the reality of it. Because again, when there's such a high unemployment, there has to be some way of survival. You know, naturally that became that those that are working in a family will have to help everyone else out, which also puts challenges on individuals and employees in a company, because they selflessly working for their family and not only for themselves. And to be a leader in a company, if you don't understand that, then that's actually disrespectful, because how do you support and how do you manage that? Yeah, it's definitely being mindful to those nuances. And I think also just looking at, you know, taking product to market as well in South Africa. I think South Africans have been very much, if you take a US or a British ad and you just place it in a South African, in a South African context, it's like, well, it's offshore, it's really, it's irrelevant to us. It means nothing, because it's just cut and paste. So as companies, you know, we need to make sure that our marketing, it's so quick for us to see us just an international, just copied and pasted and put their marketing and their stuff. And this is not a local company, it's an international company. And South Africans as a whole are very aware to that. And they might not respond very well to that unless it's a really established or admirable brand. But, you know, just saying, well, you know, that's offshore and we'd rather support local talent because he had that a lot. We'd rather support local talent and local businesses.
Want to increase the profits in your business? Download Richard's ebook right now. Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. It will help you find new ways to increase your profits. Best of all, it's free. Go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.
I think it also goes down to, you know, as you're going out there, making certain you buddy up with people, right? Looking at different ecosystems to get involved in, maybe go to different meetups. Establish local connections, get a local feel for what's going on there, and get that. Maybe in all instances, maybe there's a country manager type of position that one needs to have in order to really, you know, get to grips with that local dialogue, that local nuances. But I think that in South Africa, definitely, and maybe in Africa as a whole, that local, the relationship side of business, right, is vital. And having those relationships and local connections will, you know, allow you to start connecting the dots maybe a bit quicker than if you went on a different strategy.
Totally. Exactly that. And partnering with local talent, as one would coming from South Africa to the UK, say, or to the US. But what's also interesting is Africa can't be classified as Africa because there's many countries on the continent. So even for me, looking at Nigeria and Egypt and going into those regions as an African, in a sense, there's still going to be those challenges and I need to adapt that too. So it's no different to each other country, to the other countries in Africa. I think South Africa is very sophisticated in terms of our banking system and our compliance, and which has really done us well in previous years. But not to say there's not opportunity. Nigeria is leading in the moment in terms of growth and VC funding and entrepreneurship, but it's totally different from South Africa. So, you know, blanketing Africa is also quite dangerous and naive. So looking at exactly what that country is and then the local talent and the nuances around that, and you're rightfully looking at and going through now and discussing.
We're talking about talent. I mean, talent is, you know, obviously a vital ingredient to anyone or any business that's, you know, scaling up and moving into different parts of the world. From your perspective, I know you guys, you know, offer a service out to you know, your folks across the globe. But from a business perspective, what are the things that you need to consider when you start hiring in South Africa? Where should you start? What's the midpoint? And what's sort of the end point to make certain that you're tapping into the right parts of the ecosystem that have the talent that, you know, fintech startup or scale up requires?
That's a great question. I think there's the cultural nuances. So don't go with what you know or understand always. Jack, look at the differences and employ for those differences as well. So you have to have diverse and inclusive. It's critically important to the success. I think also looking at the level of the skills is critical to understand what those skills are, because you get a different array of skills. And then currently where we are now is because of skills shortage is the experience. So, you know, someone or individuals with a little bit of experience have quite a high salary because of the demand and the supply currently in the market. So it's critically important to look at the experience as part of the picture. Definitely the amount of people in Africa and in South Africa is critically, it's an opportunity. And then what I find quite interesting, and when I'm hiring, is understanding what's people's purpose. Because I think from South Africans or Africans, when you want to know what does a person get out of bed in the morning for, what puts electricity in their body, what makes them tick, you start getting deeper conversations of understanding individuals and charity and religion and setting up church and religious institutions and giving back and helping. That's where that you start to see a lot of that. So for me as an entrepreneur in our business, you can't get so hire someone to be more positive, more, you know, have more energy and more creative in a sense. People come with that naturally. So how do you find those skills from the offset and then bring that in and then drive the same vision and purpose in a company?
I mean, that's some great information. And I know, you know, in the UK and other parts, you know, of the world, there's, I think the whole hiring of talent is evolving. I mean, you need to have people that are, I think, well, we need to have people that are networked. We're hiring in a networked age. So going out there and looking at, you know, maybe on LinkedIn as an example, doing a roadshow, doing something out the norm to get a community feel, to get people wanting to engage with you. Is that happening in South Africa, or is there other more formal or informal ways that you can find talent for your startup?
So I think you touched on something quite interesting there, because I think the roadshow, we're community based. We're very much around community and village and culture and that. So doing that is definitely has a massive opportunity and success. Yeah. And in our space, you know, hackathons and how do we reward people that have great ideas, and we bring that through and make it inclusive to everyone. Doesn't matter where one's upbringing is. Mm. And I think that that's critically important. But I think to partner with local talent and individuals is critically important, because obviously the growth and the scale there is just exponential from the understanding and learnings. And then use the knowledge. You know, it's not one or the other. It's how to develop countries work together with developing countries. So using each other's assets and skills. So it's not one or the other, it's together, which is really, really important to use that, because there's also 4 to 5 years ahead in certain things on technology or innovation potentially. So how do we use those levers or to leverage and look at the gaps where we can fill in the local market?
I love it. And as we wrap up this part of the podcast, what advice would you give to startup founders, the scale-ups that are looking to enter into South Africa right now or in the immediate future? What are the 3 bits of knowledge that they need to know that will mean that they can be a success on their journey?
So I'm going to make it quite practical, because I think that's what everyone needs to know and it's important. Yeah. So I think setting up like bank accounts and the business basics, so understanding how that's done and where and what, even for local individuals, very difficult to set that up, because we don't have the luxury of a lot more capital flowing around. So the funding is not as where it is in established markets potentially, and that's practically on the ground. So where to register the companies and the company house version of South Africa, the bank accounts, and which are the best bank accounts to register with. And then looking at who the competitors are in the region or in the country, and then looking to see how one would partner with those or do a deal with those existing businesses. And then being in country and experiencing what the nuances are culturally. I'm understanding the gap and the divide between have and have nots, which is very wide. And then culturally understanding the different cultural nuances of people and cultures. We've got 11 official languages start on that. So, really, really important. And I think, those are quite practical in terms of getting into region and country, and then the rest working that as you go along.
Brilliant. Love that. Some really great insights and some great tips there, guys and girls. And now we get into the next part of the show, which is the flash round. The flash round, the drums, all a bit of fun, or more fun at the end of the show, right? So what is the flash round? I ask Wayne 3 questions, yes or no answers. So, you know, quick responses. There's no timer. You can take as long as you want. And then I give my friend in South Africa the mic, and he asks me one question. And just say, Wayne, these rules were not designed by me. They were designed by other people. So, you know, don't shoot.
No accountability.
Exactly. Don't shoot the host. Some more fun at the end of the show. And let's kick it off. Okay, flash round. Okay. South Africa or the UK? Best place to live?
South Africa.
Oh, there we go. Okay. What's more important when you're building a tech company, the people or the tech?
The people.
Okay. And this is a
critical hesitation. No.
This is a critical question for those rugby lovers out there. Who's going to win the World Cup next year?
South Africa's done the last. So there was a hesitation on there. and a winning streak for so long is challenging. I would like to say South Africa, but let's see what New Zealand does.
Oh, yeah. There we go. I think it might be France. But hey, there you go. You never know. Okay, so now I give you the mic, my friend, and let's crack on.
Okay, so probably not an easy question, but I suppose we have to. That's how the game was designed, right?
So,
Rich, why are you so interested in Africa, and if so, why aren't you living on the continent?
I'm always tough question. Nice question. So here it is. So I am interested in all countries around the world, right? So it's actually my podcast was initially focused on UK and Europe, but through osmosis and through organic traffic, we've grown out into different parts of the world. Right now, I'm very interested in understanding how to scale internationally. There's been a lot of questions asked by email to me from some of the listeners out there. And the interest in Africa right now is not just my interest, it's the interest of the listeners. So I'm going out there and I'm talking to guys and folk like yourself and others and getting the details. So everyone out there that is listening can really understand what it takes to scale up or start up or scale up or move to different parts of the African continent. Why am I not living out there? There's too many lines. I'm definitely coming out there end of the year. I'll be in Cape Town for 3-4 weeks. So quite looking forward to that.
Amazing.
Okay, brilliant. And as always, at the end of the show, I ask the guests to find a bit of details for the listeners out there. How can folks get in touch with you if they want to?
So I think the easiest is LinkedIn potentially. So Wayne Zweers, my personal, and then Basalt Technologies on LinkedIn. We're on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and all that. And then wayne@basalt.co is my email address. So feel free to pop me an email and you can take a conversation from there.
Brilliant. And folks, don't worry about scrambling to write that down or zooming back and writing that down. Everything will be in the show notes and everything will be detailed out so you can pick it up off there. Wayne, awesome having you on the show today. Really looking forward to actually meeting you when you come to the UK next. And looking forward to lots of different companies and individuals, getting involved in South Africa and also the African continent and the African journey. So awesome show. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Rich, and thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you for listening to the FinTech Scaling Show podcast. Please take advantage of the free gift Richard has waiting for you. It's his new ebook, Unlock Hidden Profit Zones. Simply go to scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up. That's scaleupconsulting.co.uk/sign-up.